Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. And then would you turn over, please, to Luke chapter 2. To Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Amen to the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we're here. You have brought us here this night. And as we meditate upon your word, as we meditate upon your Son, we pray, O God, by your Spirit, you would exalt him in our midst for the glory of your great name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I wonder how much time and effort you put into what you wear. Perhaps you're on one end of the spectrum and you're awfully stylish and fashionable and dapper and debonair. And perhaps you're here this evening and you're a Chris de Troy or a Tim Carr who's wearing red trousers pants this evening. Or perhaps you're the other end of the spectrum. You obviously pay little attention to what you wear. You don't seem to care, the Nathan Franklins of the congregation. Well, wherever you are on the spectrum, I want us to think this evening about the clothing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a wee biblical theology, if you like, of the clothing of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to think about his heavenly clothing. His heavenly clothing. We read there in Psalm 104 that David says, or the psalmist says, you are clothed with splendor and majesty. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Now, those two words, splendor and majesty, in the Hebrew, the root word there is the same. It's the idea of beauty and grandeur and glory. God is clothed in beauty and grandeur and glory. That's what he is clothed in. Has anyone ever said to you, oh, well, you're clothed in beauty and grandeur and glory? April's never said that to Chris. You're clothed in grandeur. But that's the clothing of our God. And you've got to understand this evening that Jesus is God. That he is, as I said this morning, he is the apogasma, the radiance, the effulgence, the shining forth of the God of glory. And therefore he has from eternity always been clothed in splendor and glory because he is God. We sung it a few moments ago, very God of very God. He is God. He does, in the scriptures, he does the works of God as he calms the storm and as he raises the dead. He has the authority of God. Remember Mark chapter 2 when he forgives that man's sins and the Pharisees are freaking out. Only God can forgive sins. Yes, Jesus can. He's got the names and the titles of God. Remember when he appears after his resurrection to Thomas and shows him his hands. What does Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Jesus is God. And so he has only ever been clothed in splendor and majesty. Remember, God spoke to Job and he said to Job, clothe yourself, Job, with majesty and dignity and glory and splendor. And Job realizes who he is before a great and awesome God. I can't clothe myself in those things. And he puts his hand over his mouth. Who am I? And yet Jesus has always been clothed in these things. Remember, we considered this morning the Mount of Transfiguration. How his face shone brighter than the sun and his clothes became white as light. He said that was just a peek, just a glimpse into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. A reminder of who he is, that beyond this veil of his humanity, he is clothed with splendor. In majesty. Jesus' heavenly clothing. But notice, secondly, his human clothing. His human clothing. That's partly why we read Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 7. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. And then in verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. He who had only ever been clothed with splendor and majesty is now wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now you know that swaddling cloths are used to be wrapped tightly around the baby to comfort him or her, to keep them feeling secure. That's amazing. God, the Son of God, was wrapped in swaddling cloths. And of course, they symbolize so much that Jesus, although no less God, veiled his glory in humanity. That he entered time and space. That he became one of us. That he became a baby. That he was born in an unromantic barn. That he was born in squalor and dirt. And He breathed the same air that we breathe. He knew all the frailties and sorrows of our humanity. You know what it is to weep. He knew what it is to weep. He knew what it was to know pain. He knew what it was to live among sinners. He knew what it was to live an ordinary, mundane life. The one who created the galaxies could be found at his workbench day after day, sanding and planing the woods. You see, this swaddling cloth reminds us of something of how low Jesus stooped, that although he was clothed in splendor and majesty, clothed himself in humanity. He became God and man. So his heavenly clothing and his human clothing. But I want to think of, thirdly, his healing clothing. I'm thinking of Luke chapter 8, when we find this woman who had this discharge of blood for 12 years. 12 years. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor. She spent all of her money on healthcare. We know what that feels like. Spending all of her money on healthcare. If only I could touch his garment, she said. And so she rustles through the crowd to get a hold of him. And so she came up behind him, we were reading Luke 8, and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. Why did this happen? It was a reminder that beyond his humanity was his deity. He's still clothed in majesty and splendor, but it was also a reminder of why he came. He came to bring healing to this world. He came to heal the sick. Like that boy that we read of this morning, he came to take us from all of our sinful and desperate condition and bring healing. More than that, he came to take those who were dead and raise them up to life. That is our experience as Christians. We were dead, but he brought us to life. Jesus came to bring healing. He came to bring life at Calvary. His heavenly clothing, his human clothing, and his healing clothing. But think of, fourthly, his humiliating clothing. His humiliating clothing. And by that I mean the time that he had no clothing at all. I think as I read the Gospels, I think that Jesus was naked before he went to the cross. Remember when they scourged him? It says that his back was naked, and we read in Mark 15 that after he was scourged, they put his clothes on him. So to some degree, Jesus was naked. When they took Jesus to this pillar and tied his arms around the pillar, when they scourged him, tearing away his back, his skin, and his flesh, Jesus, at least to some degree, was naked. He lay there, tied around this pillar, being mutilated, and he was naked. Now, he did it willingly, of course. We read in the Old Testament that he says, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. He willingly did it. He willingly was stripped of his clothing and mutilated for his people. And then they put his clothes back on him. But then later, he's stripped of his clothing again. And we read of this in John chapter 19. And listen to what it says in John chapter 19 as Jesus lay on the cross. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." You've got to understand, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus lay there on the cross, he was naked. He was absolutely humiliated. The Romans, it was their custom to strip someone down because the cross wasn't just about pain and death. It was about humiliation and shame. And we say, well, couldn't they leave him the dignity of his clothing? And the answer is no, they couldn't. Because when Jesus was there on the cross, he was bearing all my sin. He was carrying all my shame. No, he couldn't have the dignity of clothing. And the shame of no clothing points to the depths of his unfathomable suffering, that he would die there alone for me, that he would experience hell on that cross for me, humiliated, naked, and ashamed. Could they not leave him the dignity of his clothing? No. Because he who knew no sin was made sin for me, for my shame and my guilt. And so you see, brothers and sisters, that not only did Jesus veil his infinite glory with the clothing of humanity, but he was even stripped of his earthly clothing for me, for you, brothers and sisters. He did this for you. I wonder if you've ever pondered over the shame that Jesus had to endure as he was crucified. And what does it tell you? It tells you something of the depths of the shame of our sin. Such is the abhorrence, such is the shame of our sin and guilt that Jesus had to endure even that for us. And yet it tells us something else. It tells us something of the depths of his love for us, that he was not only willing to veil his divine clothing, but even be stripped of his human clothing in order that we would be clothed. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about physical clothing. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. I'm talking about the shame of spiritual nakedness. I said earlier on about Adam and Eve and how they knew they were naked. It was a spiritual nakedness that manifested itself in the shame of physical nakedness. But Jesus Christ was stripped of his clothing in order that we would be clothed in his righteousness. And I say to you this evening that if you're here this evening and you are without Christ, you have rejected him. Your life is simply about yourself. You have no time for God. Maybe Christmas, maybe Easter. But otherwise, life is simply about you and what you can get out of it. Then I say to you, it doesn't matter how you dress yourself up, you're naked. You're naked without Jesus Christ, and you must come to him in repentance and faith. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the prodigal son. How he rejected his father. He couldn't wait to get away from his father, and so he goes into the far country and makes a mess of his life, looking for pleasure, looking for satisfaction in the empty promises of the world, until he finds himself destitute. And by God's grace, he comes to his senses. What am I doing here? I'll go back to my father. And he gets up and he goes to his father, ashamed of his sin, casting himself upon the goodness of his father. And what does the father do? He sees him from afar off. He runs out to meet him, falls on his neck, kisses his neck. And what does he say? Turns to his servants, get a robe and put it on him. Clothe, as it were, his nakedness. And that's the gospel. Jesus Christ came and was stripped even of his human clothing. He knew the shame and punishment of our sin in order that we would be clothed in the robes of his righteousness. That is the gospel. And if you haven't done it, you need to repent of your sin. Leave the far country of an empty, fleeting world and come to Jesus Christ and put him on. That you would know what it is to be right with God, to know God, which is life eternal. His heavenly clothing, his human clothing, his healing clothing, his humble clothing. And finally, his honorable clothing. His honorable clothing. You know, Jesus' human clothing that he first received, if you like, at the incarnation, now, although he didn't become any less man, he's still God and man even to this day. But his human clothing, the clothes that he wore, his burial clothes, were cast aside. You remember Peter and John ran to the tomb and they stooped down and looked in. What did they find there? They found Jesus' burial clothes laid neatly in a pile. Jesus didn't need his burial clothing anymore, because he was veiled and no longer. Now he wore exalted, honorable clothing. It's interesting in Revelation chapter 1. We read this in Revelation chapter 1. So this is John speaking. He says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. So he turned and he saw Jesus. And he was clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. He wasn't wearing the swaddling cloths. He wasn't naked like he was as he lay on the cross. He wasn't wearing his burial clothes. He was clothed with splendor and majesty again, brighter than ever if that were possible. See Jesus in Revelation 1 standing in the midst of his church with a robe and a sash depicting his dignity. His shame has been replaced by dignity. If you're a Christian here this evening, that you know that this day we don't only rejoice in his incarnation, but we rejoice in his resurrection, and we rejoice in his exaltation, and we rejoice that he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, clothed in majesty and splendor. And we rejoice that he is coming again. And we will see him in all his glory. And we rejoice this evening that we can say, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. Why? For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we look forward to that day. As we come to the Lord's table this evening, we proclaim that he is coming again when we will see him, clothed in all his dignity and splendor, and we will worship him. Let's come and pray to our God.